We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. A few years ago, author Paul McComas and singer-songwriter Maya Cooper created Unplugged, a survivor's story in scenes and songs. It's based on Paul's novel of the same name. The show uses original songs and spoken word performances to tell the story of Dana Clay, a fictional 27-year-old rock musician and survivor of sexual assault.
On Monday night at Linneman's River West Inn, a unique group of people will collect to present that show. Joining McComas and Cooper and their Dana Clay band on stage will be former Green Bay Packer coach Harry Sidney.
Since his retirement from professional football, Sidney's nonprofit organization, My Brother's Keeper, works to enable boys and men to, as he puts it, get out of their own way. Sidney says that if boys and men can't respect themselves and their own boundaries, they aren't going to respect women's. Harry Sidney joins us on the phone from his Green Bay office now. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure to get a chance to talk about our mission, what we do, and just life in general.
Well, let's start with the mission of My Brother's Keeper. You started this in 2003. Why? What made you make such a change in your life after you left professional football?
Well, you know, the thing about it, I didn't start in 2003. I started when I was growing up in my head, because growing up, when you go through a dad that's a military man, they grew up in the streets of Philadelphia, and they taught him to be a military man. They taught him how to kill, but they didn't teach him how to love. They didn't teach him how to treat women. So I grew up in a house of domestic violence. Now it's domestic violence. And growing up, it was just the way it was. So I grew up with dad. Mom was an alcoholic, and she was an alcoholic because she was married to an evil man. At age of 17, Mom shot my dad because she got tired of the craziness. So I went somewhere where nobody knew me, so I didn't have to answer questions. I went and played football in Kansas. Tried to play football. I, in the pros, got cut. Did a whole bunch of odd jobs. Life was crazy. Trying to put food on the table while still chasing a dream. Wound up making it in the NFL at age 27, when most people are retiring. I made it. Played football for 49ers. Won a couple of Super Bowls, which was awesome. Played with Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott. Those were my guys. Those were my peers. Came to Green Bay, played, started football here in 92, retired, and I coached and I was on the Ray Roach staff and got fired. I had opportunity to coach probably 12 other jobs in the NFL, but during this time got divorced and got remarried, but in a family of 8 kids. Who goes, who stays, what do I do to a family? So we walked away from football. I was doing some financial planning, and I looked in the mirror one day and realized that's not who I wanted to be. So I went for a long walk, and I said, man, I wish there was somebody that I can talk to. You know, I have a degree in criminology and juvenile justice and all that stuff, and I played football, won Super Bowls, but I still had stuff coming my way, and I wanted to find somebody to talk to. And unfortunately, not right or wrong, but I talked to people, but nobody was shooting me the straight stuff. They were trying to make me feel good and this and that. So I said, well, why not me be the guy to shoot straight? So me and my wife started My Brother's Keeper 2003, with the mission of to help boys and men learn the skills necessary to get out of their own way, to learn how to have the conversations. And what I realized, our society does a great job of building more domestic violence shelters. They do a great job of more after-school programs, great thing, and more shelters for animals, great thing. But in my mind, all those things were the trickle-down effect of men not doing their job, and nobody was really teaching the men.
So for you, it was the fact that you needed somebody to talk to, and you needed somebody to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it was a crazy thing. In 1986, I played football in Canada. And then Montreal, the team folded. I went back to North Carolina, a place that I never thought I would be. And I was working as a forklift driver late night. One night, this old gentleman walked up to me, and he says, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I'm Harry Sidney, the football player. He says, no, you're not. You're Harry Sidney, the blank and forklift driver. And that moment hit me, because it finally took a stranger to tell me the truth, because the people that I loved were always going to tell me what I wanted to hear. But it took a stranger to tell me what I needed to hear.
So how have you taken that and turned that into My Brother's Keeper? Who are you working with, first of all? Who are your clients? And how do you work with other agencies to help men and boys do what you say you want them to do, which is just stand up and, you know, take responsibility?
Well, what we did is, it's not just, I started a program. In this program, we developed this philosophy. It's called the IRS code. And that philosophy is, every decision we make, we have to base it on being a man of integrity. And integrity in our program means knowing what the right thing to do is, but being willing to do it at all times. It sounds simple, but it's hard because we let our emotions, let a whole lot of other things get in the way of that. We get mad at a salt shaker, and it has nothing to do with the salt shaker. So we teach our clients how to communicate, how to talk. Our ranges are from 11 to 65. We work with all ranges of men I have. And we go into several schools on a regular basis. We go into juvenile detention center every Tuesday to work with the kids that are arrested over the weekend. We work with the human services in Brown County where if a young boy gets in trouble, they can mandatory send him for our program for 10 weeks or more. And we work with them on the skills of how to think, how to talk, how to communicate. What are you trying to say? Are you letting your emotions get the best of you? Are you having conversations with yourself before you're having conversations with anybody else?
You know, it's interesting to listen to that. It sounds, as you said, so simple. It's like a very basic thing. Love yourself and you can love other people. You know, respect yourself, you can respect other people. But it seems like there's so many people in our state, in our country, that just don't know how to do that.
Exactly. Like, for example, our philosophy is a little different. Everybody thinks drugs and drinking is the problem. Drugs and drinking is not the problem. The problem is, why are we drinking and why are we doing the drugs? Get to the root of the problem, not putting Band-Aids on it. You know, and we give our clients reasons to change. You want life to be different. What are you doing to make life different? We make our clients hold themselves accountable, be responsible.
Once they have gone through a program with you, how do you follow up with them?
We follow up because we've been here for 10 years. I have clients that have been coming for 8-9 years. They come every 3 months for oil change, just like a car. They come back, hey, how's it going? Good, man. Why is it going? Why is it going good? What are you doing to make it good? Well, I'm doing this. Okay. Life is good because you're making it good. You're taking control of your life. Because what everybody has to understand, sooner or later, we have to pick up the ink pen and be the author of our own story. What do you want your story to be?
So how do you look at the work you're doing up there in Green Bay and compare it to the kind of work that's happening down here? You're going to be here on Monday to be part of this wonderful Unplugged the Musical event. How does that connect with what you're doing?
Well, the connection is, and then it sounds crazy, most of our issues, not right or wrong, come down to the trickle-down effect of men not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not respecting people, and because they're not respecting things are happening that shouldn't be happening. The effect of a man not doing what he's supposed to be doing is the woman, the kids. You know, you talk about, you know, sexual awareness and respect for each other's body. Well, if you don't have respect, how are you going to respect somebody else? If you don't have respect for yourself, why are you going to respect this lady? This doesn't happen. So it's all related. We build more shelters and more aftercare programs, and my programs to get to the root of the problem, that's the men. Look at our jails. Look at our kids that are growing up without dads. Most boys live by the duck philosophy. If you ever see a duck swim, what do you normally see? This pretty creature floating on top of the water, but what's he doing underneath the water? Paddling like crazy. That's most guys. We look calm on the outside. We got everything together outside, but inside our head is going 1,000 miles an hour. Now, if we don't take it out right, we crash and burn. So that's what our program is based on.
You're tackling a very huge societal issue because boys are trained not to show emotions or anger.
Exactly.
You can show anger. Anger's okay, but anything else isn't.
And
I think boys get locked up at a very early age emotionally and don't know what to do with
lost.
It. Yeah.
And not only that, but, you know, like years ago, Nancy Reagan said this incredible statement. Just say no to drugs, but it was so incomplete because she should have said, just say no to drugs because I want to be this. And unfortunately, we have a society a lot of times that guys don't have any reason not to, so they do. I try to give guys reasons, to help them create some dream, to help them create, I can do this. And to do that, I have to get them out of their own way.
It's always the hardest thing is to get out of your own way.
Get out of your own way. And our program is based on giving guys the skills to get out of their own way.
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting. The program on Monday night looks really fascinating, a mix of music and slides and your conversation and lots of other people. And what do you hope that an audience member takes away from it?
I think what I hope an audience member takes away from it is it doesn't matter where you come from, it matters where you're going. it matters where you're going, but you got to decide to go somewhere. Then life changes. Then everybody changes. If we decide to stay stuck, we'll stay stuck. And here's the thing. Everybody has stuff. Everybody has stuff. They got things they're dealing with. But it's a matter of how are we dealing with it. So what my whole goal is with my clients and what we've been doing for the years is every client that comes in here, I want him to understand he has the power to make a choice. He has the power to pick up the ink pen and decide a lot that has to do with his life. And the question is, what kind of life do you want to have?
And then you can figure out how to get there.
Then, yeah. But you got to have a destination before you can set a course. And I grew up as an early age. My mom and dad said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, a professional football player. And I drew a picture of myself and put it up on a wall. And with it, every day I looked at that, that reminded me of what I was trying to do and helped me stay away from the other stuff. So I grew up in the South. I grew up in North Carolina. My dad was a military man, but, you know, down in the Market Street in Fayetteville is where they had the marketplace where they sold slaves. I grew up in the South. I mean, I'm 57 years old. We were still drinking at different water fountains. So as a black man, we all have been fighting a lot of things in a lot of different ways. We've been fighting ourselves. We've been fighting everybody. And sooner or later, we got to stop fighting and say, you know what? Let me educate myself. Let me do some different things. Let me take control of my life instead of moaning and groaning about what's happening to my life.
It sounds like a fantastic program. I'm so glad you're going to be here in Milwaukee. We're so looking forward to having you here. And Harry Sidney, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Harry Sidney is the founder and director of Green Bay's male mentoring program, My Brother's Keeper. Before that, Sidney played 10 seasons of professional football and won 2 Super Bowl championships with the San Francisco 49ers and 1 with the Green Bay Packers as their running back coach.
Sidney will be at Lineman's in Milwaukee Monday evening to participate in Unplugged, a survivor's story in scenes and songs, which is created by Paul McComas and Maya Cooper. There's more information about both My Brother's Keeper and Unplugged at wuwm.com. Thank you.